We've got a quick but huge announcement for all you diehards out there.
Get a cup of coffee, pull up your chair to the table, because of your support, your five-star reviews, we've decided to make Sell or Die content for you 5 days a week starting now.
That's right. Sell or Die is now a daily source of sales wisdom, strategies, interviews,
and much more. If you haven't already subscribed, already is now the time. iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, search Sell or Die. Tell a friend. Tell both your friends. It's the only podcast for selling diehards on the planet.
Just don't tell your competition.
Okay, I won't.
It's time for a Sales Manager Spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Our guest today is Ryan Bramlett. After a very, very successful insurance and risk management sales career, Ryan now leads the largest sales team within Payne West Insurance Company. They're a Northwest-based insurance firm that is one of the 50 largest insurance firms in the country. Ryan's division includes over 100 insurance producers, generating over $65 million in commercial insurance revenue with clients in all 50 states. Wow.
Way to go, Ryan.
Yeah, welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What's it feel like to have 100 whining salespeople working for you?
I'll tell you what, it depends on the day. Some days are better than others.
Yeah. Do they ever complain that the lead wasn't any good?
They never complain about anything, actually, no.
Really?
What do you do? Right. Beat him?
He has a filter and all the complaints go into that part of his email.
Right.
There you go. Exactly.
A little complaint form. Tell me what your biggest challenge is right now with your insurance salespeople.
Our biggest challenge right now, that's a great question. I think that, industry-wide, when you talk about challenges, you talk about the perpetuation of the industry itself. We're certainly no different there. We have a lot of producers that are 5 to 7 years away from retirement, and we need to make sure that we're successfully perpetuating for the future. But I would tell you specifically, my biggest challenge right now is trying to continue to get producers to move through the learning cycle.
Learning of product or learning of sales?
Learning of sales. What I mean by that, I guess it kind of depends on the learning cycle that you talk about, but the one that's been taught to me, a lot of folks, we start off in that unconscious, incompetent world to where we don't really know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. You then move to cautious incompetent, which means you know what you don't know. Then you go to cautious competent, which means you are capable of executing on some level. And then you get into unconscious competent to where I'm so good I can do this in my sleep. Now, the problem is that cycle never stops. And we have producers that have had a high level of success working in a certain way for a long time, but we need to continually evolve and adapt. And if we don't do that, our producers can go back from unconscious competent back to unconscious incompetent, if that makes sense. And so we need to be mindful of that and coach to that.
And does that include social competence?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does.
So how do you coach to that?
What I would say is, or what you hear us talk about within our firm is sell the process. Don't use the process to sell insurance. And what I'm talking about there is if my own little formula, if you will, on sales would be ask great questions, tell great stories, quantify in everything that we're going to do. And that's going to lead to results. So that's a very high level perspective of our coaching and our philosophy around our sales process. But that is ultimately how we coach to that.
So for a new person who's just starting out in insurance, how do they tell great stories? I mean, where do they, like, what, how would they have them?
Yeah. That's always a challenge. And, you know, one of the things that we have a challenge of is just our geographic spread within all of our locations and trying to tap into our common intellect and communicate that across the firm. But what we do is we talk to our producers, specifically our younger folks, and help them understand that the firm stories are their stories. So as they're looking to communicate how it is that we work and make it relevant to whoever it is they might be talking to, they can tap into the resources and in the stories that we have across the firm. The other thing that we'll also coach them to do as they continually build their stories within the industry is tell their own personal stories from their past and make it relevant and relatable to what it is that we're talking about. So if you got an athletic background, as an example, you can certainly bring analogies to our industry, you know, from that background that are going to be relevant to the client.
I'm assuming when you talk about the bigness of your territory that oftentimes your salespeople are in front of a windshield rather than in front of a customer. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. It definitely is. In fact, you know, in certain parts of our geographies, we do have meaningful market share. And in order to continue to grow, our producers need to get outside the zip code. And that certainly means that they need to get on the road and have some windshield time. Absolutely.
What do they do when they're driving? What do they listen to?
Your podcast.
Cool.
Well, that's a smart move. That's situation number one. But
there you go.
But obviously, some of these people have hours between talks. I mean, I've driven out west, and it's
yeah.
I mean, just to get from one town to the next sometimes is a half an hour.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And in all seriousness, you know, we do have an emphasis, or we try to emphasize within our culture constant learning. And we do communicate, you know, podcasts such as yourself and others. And a lot of our producers will tap into those resources. The other thing that we will do, and it ties into something we were talking about earlier, is we've created, for lack of a better term, some of our internal podcasts. As an example, I'll interview some of our producers and have them tell us a story about a success or about a product or a new solution that we might bring. We will capture that intellect, and then we'll broadcast that through the firm internally, and that can be mobile. So it's something that producers will actually listen to while they're driving down the road.
Oh, yeah. They want to know that's how smart. Their peers succeeded.
Yep.
That's for sure, especially someone who made a big sale and went through a big obstacle to get it, or someone who's new and wasn't lucky, but they were smart about what they did.
Yep.
But any example that you can give of your own success is going to go a heck of a long way.
Absolutely.
So, go for it.
I just have an idea. Some people have these stories, but they don't want to tell them.
Yeah.
Pay them.
I think that's a great idea, because we see that challenge as well. There's no doubt about it. You're spot on there. Yeah.
But $100 a story, you're going to get thousands of people coming in.
Yep.
Yeah, yep, people can't, at that point, people won't want to wait to share their story.
Exactly. Yeah, what the hell do I want to tell them for? They're not paying me.
You're right.
So I don't know if you know this, but I reached out to my network on social media and said, I want to meet the best sales manager you know, because we're doing the sales manager spotlight. And Pat from our digital agency immediately emailed me and said, you have to meet Ryan. He's the greatest sales manager. And so we're really, really excited you're here. And
yeah, somebody said you were great, but so far we haven't really heard that.
No. So I want to know, what's your secret sauce?
Like, yeah.
How do you coach your people? What do you do that has made you so successful in sales leadership?
Man, I think I would answer that by speaking to, I guess, my overall, you know, philosophy in leadership. And I could simplify that by saying really trying to drive clarity around our purpose, support that vision with people, processes, and tools, lead in an ambidextrous style, and then just get out of the way.
Give me an example of clarity driven.
I think that when we're talking about driving clarity, you know, we have to have a clear sense of direction and where it is that we're going. We got to have cohesiveness around that direction from the top down. You need to believe in it. You need to sell it. You need to demand it. You need to live it. You've probably heard a quote, something along the lines of vision doesn't mean anything without the people behind it. So you got to get the buy-in and sell it, live it, demand it, and so on.
So when you're giving a little pep talk to your people, what do you talk to them about? What's the topic of the day?
Topic of the day. That's actually something I've been thinking a little bit about. I read something here recently, and it said something along the lines of sales targets are not motivators. It definitely gets deeper as careers evolve. You've probably seen the Simon Sinek why video, and you start thinking about different producers in different stages of their careers, and understanding that a producer that's been with us for 20 years that has $1.5 million book isn't motivated at all by a sales target. Their why is completely different than the young producer. So when we're talking about what do we talk about and quote unquote pep talks, it's really trying to understand what motivates and speak to those things.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you. So when you question your people, are they forthcoming with answers about getting down to their why, or are they sometimes reluctant to reveal it?
Yeah, certainly you have different responses. You got to pull that a little bit. That's not and I think that it takes time. It takes individual time. Those are things that just having good old fashioned one-on-one conversations with folks and getting to know those individuals, you start getting a better sense of what their why might be.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the 5-why principle?
I have not, actually, no.
You ask somebody what their why is and they say, well, I want to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, why? And they say, well, I want to put my kids through college. And you say, why?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, because I never went to college. And you say, why? And you say, well, because my dad always told me I'd never amount to anything.
There you go. You're getting deeper there. Yep.
Oh, why? There you go. Yep. So understand that oftentimes their superficial why is not their real why.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how – I'm going to watch the Simon Sinek why video just to
– I think we saw part of his why thing when we saw him on stage.
Yeah.
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 He's a smart guy. But I'll find out what his why deal is.
Right.
So rumor has it you took your pipeline. You had a pipeline movement, $0 to $24 million in 16 months.
That is correct, yes.
So talk to us about
that.
What
the hell
is
that
about? How did you do that?
Like, dude, if somebody wait a minute. If somebody said that you went from $0 to $2 million, in 24 months, that would be a big deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you got to throw an asterisk by it because there's damn sure some fluff in those numbers. And we know that. We're not ignorant to that. But in our firm, we've attempted a few different times in the past to implement a sales pipeline within the organization. And it really has fizzled out every single time. And so we took a look at it and we said, look, we are a sales company. We have to have a pipeline. It's ridiculous that we don't. So we need to get this done. It's non-optional, but how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it differently? And I would tell you there was four or five handful of things that we did that at this point are working, and it's not rocket science. A lot of it is just persistence. But, you know, first of all, we started with the communication and then ultimately the over-communication of why we actually need a pipeline. Producers don't want to hear that we're doing a pipeline because that it delivers results. We know that it does, and that's certainly one of the reasons. It drives some accountability, but we're not looking to micromanage. You know, one of the things that we communicated was to the producers, like it's not about just the producers. It's about the organization as a whole. And what I mean by that is being able to forecast where it is that we're going in an accurate way helps us really identify the types of resources that we can make investments to help them sell in the future. Mm-hmm. It helps us make proactive investments and additional support from a staffing perspective. We need to know where you're going to make those decisions proactively. And I think that resonated with a good majority of our producers that, you know, these numbers are not just about holding me accountable. But then beyond that, you know, we're leading by example with our regional sales directors. I have four regional sales directors that work underneath me. And what we're doing there is the accountability starts at that level. And we quantify what that accountability is. And so our goal was to make sure that we had at least three times revenue in our pipeline compared to our annual revenue. That was the minimum number. And the accountability is at a regional level saying, look, I don't care what the producer's number, I don't care what their pipeline says. I care what our regional and our all up pipeline says. And so the accountability and the quantification is at the leadership level. But then to continue to lead by example, we have within our sales directors, our own respective pipeline. And what we're doing is we're out identifying large prospects ourselves with the intent of creating an opportunity, creating a new business opportunity, then identifying the best producer team that gives us the highest chance of winning, and then bringing that opportunity to the producer so they can see that we're doing the exact same thing that we're asking them to do, and we're rewarding them with some opportunities there.
That's rare.
Yeah, totally. But I have some. I want to apply for a job at your place because I think I can bring some clarity to pipeline.
Yes, please do.
Pipeline is often misconstrued because it's not broken down enough. And in your mm-hmm. business, there are three pipelines.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the prospective renewal.
Yep.
One of them are the proposals that you have sent out already.
Mm-hmm.
That have not closed yet. That's your current pipeline.
Yes.
And then the third one is your prospect pipeline and what you perceive the value of that to be.
Yes.
Once you have those three pipelines put in place in the insurance business per se, then you can develop real pipeline.
Yeah.
Because if your salesperson throws in renewals with prospects, it's bad.
Yeah.
You never know what real pipeline is.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
So do I get the job?
Yeah, you're hired. Absolutely. Right, cool.
I don't know if I could take the cut and pay, but I'll be out there in a week.
Oh man.
Hey, it's all about the lifestyle, right?
That's
of course,
true.
You got a pretty good lifestyle down in Charlotte, North Carolina, too.
We do. But you know, Montana, you know, takes you an hour to get to the grocery store.
It does, right.
Oh, man.
But you got buffaloes out there, right?
Yeah, we do. We still ride in wagons, and absolutely.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's a little more sophisticated than that. But the pipeline process is much more easily defined if you break it down.
Yes. Yes. You know, and along those same lines is what you're talking to there, Jeff. Where we are doing a lot of our measurement is the movement within the pipeline, right? Quantifying, mm-hmm. to your point, what is the potential new business opportunity, mm-hmm. and is it moving? isn't moving, and then having some contests around that, celebrating around that, and also having some accountability around those things.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but you can't, you have to look at movement separately.
Yeah.
All your prospects need to be in movement mode. All your renewals need to be in, because if you miss a date on your renewal, you missed it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. Movement is the key.
How has creating a pipeline strategy impacted revenue?
You know, so far, I hesitate in putting too much stock into this yet, Jennifer, but the numbers are what they are. Right now, year to date, our company is up about 16% growth year to date. Compare that to a couple of years ago where we were at 3-4%. Now, there's some acquisition in there. There's some market in there. But the results are absolutely better. In fact, this is the highest results we've ever seen.
That's cool. So cool. And it's not just good for the company. It's good for the salespeople out there who probably were reluctant to enter in their data.
Yes, absolutely.
Love that. That's
do you
cool.
think it's because of the economy right now? I mean, do you guys think you had something to do with it?
I hope we have something to do with it. But you certainly can't take all the credit. There's other factors in there too.
Cool. Well, let me share something with you. You're a very astute manager. And it's a pleasure having you on the segment. We went from a 10-minute segment to a 20-minute segment because it turns out you weren't full of shit. And the fact that you're also in the, I guess you call it the Pacific Northwest, right? Is that where you consider yourself?
Yep.
It's a different environment there than it would be, let's say, in New York City or even Chicago.
Right.
It's a much more relaxed place. You build a lot of relationships. And sometimes it's difficult for you as a sales manager to start a new relationship by trying to knock somebody out of their existing relationship.
Right.
Because some of these people have been doing business with their father's insurance agent.
Right. Absolutely. Yep.
Right. Or their grandfather's insurance agent.
And if you walk in and you say, I can save you some money, that may not be the impetus for switch.
You're absolutely right.
So we could talk about that on another show.
This has been awesome. Thank you for joining us today.
Really, really good, Ryan. Thank you very much for being on Sell or Die.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, cheers.
Have a great day.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.